Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What's going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, really.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Speaking of fantasy, let me take a look at this board here. I just drafted A.D. Mitchell.
Oh, he's going to make sweet, sweet music with Josh Allen, Mike.
Okay.
You can bank on it.
Wide receiver 5, ninth round, the 909. He's got a nice little ring, A.D. Mitchell. This team has Rashee Rice on it. I don't know if he ends up going to Kansas City, what that means. I guess I, for this particular team, would not complain if that happened. He goes one pick later to, like, Carolina or something, or whatever that would be. Not as good. Let's talk some NFL, some draft, some Chiefs, even. Matt Verderam, our guest. SI.com. Hi, Matt. Mike and Chris here. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How are you?
All right. We've been talking a lot about wide receivers likely to be picked toward the end of the first round, maybe on your Chiefs podcast or on your sort of tour around NFL shows and everything else. Maybe you are too, as Kansas City. I don't know. Like, they just won two Super Bowls without kind of doing this, although Rice was good. But, you know, the merits of teams like the Bills and the Chiefs, as you see it, Matt, thinking receiver late in round one.
Well, I think it's very possible, if not likely. I mean, look, the reality is, yes, the Bills have had great success with Stephon Diggs as that locked-in number one, and then kind of a cast of guys, you know, Gabe Davis, of course, leading that way over the last few years. You look at it and go, okay, secondary weapons. Now, Kincaid is really, I think, going to step into that role even more so, you know, going forward. But I think just because you have a great quarterback doesn't mean you shouldn't invest in trying to build around them aggressively with weaponry. And the Chiefs did win the Super Bowl, you know, this past year with Rashee Rice and the three of us at receiver. But I don't know that Mahomes is overly thrilled about the fact that that's how they had to win. You know, it made it a heck of a lot harder. I would expect the Bills to sit there and potentially invest in a receiver. Look, there's going to be a lot of guys. I mean, you know what Dunze and Harrison and Neighbors are going to be long gone. But Brian Thomas Jr., you know, Leggett out of South Carolina. You know, two kids out of Texas, both Worthy and Mitchell, could be there late in the first round. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia could be there. So there are going to be options. The question is, how does the board fall? And what, and if the Bills have a guy there they like, do they value him more than maybe a player on the defensive side of the ball or somebody of that nature?
You know, I like that you said what you said about whether Mahomes liked it or not. I feel like ever since Brady had such success with New England, with like a rotating cast of characters at the skill positions, I mean, he was there for 20 years. So, of course, that changed over. And he did have a pocket in there with Randy Moss, kind of in the middle of his career anyway. But, like, was there a lot of talk in the last couple of years, Matt, about the Chiefs doing it like that? Like, we've got a quarterback. He can make the receivers great. We don't need to invest.
I think, you know, initially, when they traded Tyreek Hill a couple of years back, I was told by sources close to it, like, the process to make that trade was, look, cannot guarantee Tyreek Hill $75 million because the defense needs complete overhaul. And they used that trade where they netted five draft picks. They used that trade to completely rebuild their defense. And also the cap space that they got by not signing Tyreek Hill to rebuild the defense. I mean, Karlaftis, McDuffie, Justin Reed, guys like that were all a product. Brian Cook, Leo Chenal, all products of that trade in one way or another. Nick Bolton, and another guy that they're going to have to pay, and they're going to be able to use some of that money they save. But I think the first year it was a little bit by necessity where they went, okay, we'll get Juju and we'll get MVS and it'll be this kind of a do it by committee type of situation. Mm-hmm. Last year, they truly went into the year thinking, oh, Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, that'll be great. And yeah, it was not. And so they ended up really having to scramble and were very fortunate that Rashee Rice came on as well as he did toward the end of the year. But I don't think they want to repeat that. Like, I think, you know, we saw the Hollywood Brown signing. I would expect that the Chiefs are going to be very aggressive in this draft and going after Rashee.
Matt, I think I speak for Bulldog. It was not at all annoying after a season where what are the Chiefs at wide receiver? Look at this Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropping these big passes. To have him catch everything in the playoffs, that was not at all annoying. Not that it was that many balls, but a couple of big plays, maybe against the Bills and the Ravens. I know that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
in the Super Bowl as well. And Hardman, maybe, you know, somebody else would be better at this. It is exceedingly tough for me in Buffalo to try to figure out at this point, after this span of 4 or 5 years, what the move is for teams like the Bills or the Ravens or Miami against Kansas City when they have won. I mean, last year's Chiefs, one of the, statistically anyway, worst offensive teams ever to make a Super Bowl. They win it, and you sort of hear, you throw your hands up, like, what are the Bills supposed to do now? Like, they can't just take Patrick Mahomes away. Right. Makes it tough to talk about.
I would say two things, one of which is an actual move and one of which is just the cold truth of it. And what the move is, you have to build a defense that can just relentlessly get pressure with four guys. Because if you can't against that team, you're dead in the playoffs. Like, they're weird in the sense that when you watch them during the regular season, if you really watch every snap, and I've watched every Mahomes snap his career probably three times over. Like, the reality is, they will not go into a full-blown game plan in most games throughout the course of the season. They will hold things back. They're very coy in the red zone. They don't run a lot of third down play. I mean, if you really watch them, they're very, hey, we're willing to go 13-4 instead of 15-2. We're willing to go 12-5 instead of 14-3 because we're going to hold all that stuff back for January. Because you watch them in the playoffs, and you watch them, the things they run the play, they've not run that sometimes in years, where they will just trot all that stuff out there. And the one way to thwart that is to do what Tampa did in the Super Bowl. And part of that was the Chiefs were hurt up front, fine. But Tampa Bay just relentlessly got to him. And all that stuff, you have all the game planning in the world. If you can't block, it doesn't matter. I think for Buffalo in particular, that has been their biggest issue against Kansas City in the playoffs. They just can't get to him. And if you can't get to him, you're losing. The other part of it is, and I think that, you know, not to bring this up in Buffalo radio, but like the 13 seconds game, that is the example of a game the Bills played perfectly, but for 13 seconds. Like, you can't play that way against them for 13 seconds. You have to play a game for 60 minutes. And it's one of those things where it just kind of goes to the point of, you have to play a perfect game in January to beat them. You just do. And, you know, we saw it with New England for 20 years. You can do it. They'll lose. They'll lose at times. But you have to play one of those games where you walk away from it going, you know what? Great plan, great execution for 60 minutes. And that's the hope.
Never feel bad about bringing up 13 seconds on any of our shows. It happens. It happens almost every day anyways, Matt.
Like
we're carrying that around. I mean, it's a scar that is just not going to be healed until they actually have a parade. So it comes up frequently. The other thing there, what you mentioned there about getting pressure with four. I mean, the Bills after the AFC title loss in 20 in Kansas City, that was, we got to get him on the ground. So here's Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham. And a year later, here's Von Miller, and I don't know, I'm kind of at, I give up. I'm not going to get to you, so I think my move is, give me all the receivers I can handle, and I'm going to try to outscore you.
And you know what? That's not the worst plan in the world, but I would count that by saying Spagnuolo's sitting there, and it's just one of those, like, the guys, I would argue that he legitimately should go to the Hall of Fame as a coordinator, which nobody's ever been inducted as just for being a coordinator. I think he has an honest-to-God case. I mean, he was the coordinator that took down this entire run, took down the Eagles team the last year, that lost one game when Hurts was a starter, took down the 07 Patriots. I mean, it's just hard. Like, to really light up a defense coached by him that has any talent at all. You know, that game in 2021 – I thought that was the best quarterback football game I've ever seen between Allen and Mahomes. I don't think you could play any better, either one of them. But, you know, that was a night where, you know, Dan Sorensen was involved and Mike Hughes was involved. Right. And, like, they were really involved as that game wore on. And Buffalo was correct to attack them relentlessly. I think if you're the Bills, you know, we saw the Ravens, to their credit, in the AFC title game, the second half specifically, they got to Mahomes. Now, some of that was a little bit of blitzing, and McDonald's a little bit more aggressive. The Chiefs only scored 17 points in that game. The problem for Baltimore was, unlike Buffalo, they just couldn't move the ball. They couldn't do anything. I will say this, it makes Bills fans feel better, because I think it's the truth. I think a lot of people in Kansas City felt like that Bills game was their Super Bowl. That if they won that game, they were going to win the Super Bowl. Because going up to Buffalo is a brutal task, no matter what time of year it is, especially in the playoffs. And Allen's just a unique guy. In this, he's the best dual threat in the NFL. There's so many things you can do right, and then he makes that throw to Shakir in the corner of the end zone in that game. You're like, what do you do? That's the only touchdown Steve gave up all year long, was that play. So I think the Bills are – I still think the Bills and the Bengals are the biggest threats to Kansas City in either conference, for that matter.
Interesting, I know you tweeted about this. We were talking yesterday about what happened to the AFC West last year. Turns out the Raiders, in terms of the win total or totals, were the only team to go over their win total last year, winning, eight games. This year, I think most people, Matt, you'll tell us if you disagree. I mean, the Denver win total is maybe 5.5. No one knows what their quarterback plan is. Same with Vegas, unless it's Minshew, I guess. And then you have the Chargers, who have dumped their top two wide receivers, all the cap issues, kind of feels like a reset there. You know, not great for the rest of the AFC if Kansas City pulls off kind of an easy year in the division, which last year was not, even with their championship losing to Denver, losing to Vegas. What do you see likely to happen in the AFC West?
Yeah, you're right. I sat down on my podcast on Patreon the other day, and I kind of went into this. I think this is probably the easiest year they've ever had in the division with Mahomes. I mean, there's always been somebody, right? Like, the Chargers are kind of the perennial. The Chargers are the AFC West answer to the Jets, where everyone spends the entire offseason telling you how good they are, and then you get into, like, week five, and you're like, they're not good. Again, and I feel like that's what we're going to do with the Jets this offseason, where everybody's going to talk themselves into the Jets, forgetting that the tackles are like 179 years old. I think you look at the AFC West and you hit it. I mean, the Broncos, you can make a real argument, have the worst roster in the NFL. They're just bereft. I mean, they have nobody on that team outside of Surtain and Sutton, who you have any real fear of. The Chargers. Weirdly enough, I think actually might have a decent record because they play a last-place schedule. So that's going to benefit them. But, yeah, the Raiders own the quarterback. And the Chiefs, yeah, I mean, their schedule's really conducive. They play those teams, obviously, six times. They also play the NFC South. And the Saints and the Bucks, they get them at home. They do play the AFC North, but they get the Bengals and the Ravens at Arrowhead. So, I mean, the only games you look at on Kansas City's schedule, and you go, those are really tough games. But games that they might not be favored to win are at Buffalo and at San Francisco. And other than that, I mean, they're going to be favorites, in a lot of them significantly, in every other game they play.
We know from doing this gig, as long as we've been doing it together here, that even when a team looks like they're all set, their fans have things to worry about. It might do a lot of us here in Buffalo a lot of good to hear you talk about what are the concerns for the Chiefs. I mean, on the heels of you just saying it could be the easiest year they've had since they've had Mahomes, so I guess I'm looking for something to offset that.
No, hey, listen, I mean, they're real. Like, who's their left tackle? I mean, nobody seems to know the hell the left tackle is. They, you know, Wandae Morris was a third-round pick last year who actually played in that Bills game because Donovan Smith was hurt. Smith is a free agent. I would say if you had to grade him last year, he was probably like a C, maybe a C+. He was fine. He was a liability some games he was okay. But that's a place that they're going to look to upgrade. I would imagine they take a tackle on the first two rounds this year in the draft, even if Smith comes back on a one-year deal. So left tackle is a concern. They have to look. They still need another receiver. I mean, yes, they could probably get by this year with Brown and with Rashee Rice if they're both healthy and good to go, but there's no depth behind those guys. And then I think there's, you know, on the defensive side, they're even with trading Snead, they're still pretty loaded. I mean, they have McDuffie, they have Watson and Williams, but I think the main concern is just the tackles, specifically the left side. Juwan Taylor's got to be better than he was last year. He was not good, and they gave him 4 years and $80 million. So I think it's that. And then look, Kelsey's 34 years old. You know, and Kelsey last year was dealing with a knee injury all year long. He wasn't himself. In the playoffs, he was. And then getting a couple of the buys in the playoffs really helped him. But, you know, how long can he be in a 1,000-yard guy for? So they have questions, for sure. But certainly, with the way everything lines up, if they're healthy, yeah, the schedule's conducive. And you know, they're loaded. They still have their whole coaching staff.
Just a couple minutes left with Matt Verderam, SI.com. So, Matt, the top of the draft, number one doesn't seem to have left us any drama with the Fields move, and it's probably right. Caleb Williams, of course. After that, though, either this is an unusual year for all the different possibilities, you've got the smokescreen stuff happening as usual, or we should know better to fall for, actually, J.J. McCarthy at two and everything, you know, with yeah. Neighbors or whatever. So have you got a guess that you like for what?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What happens, say, 2 through 5?
So I have done this long enough to know that it's a fool's game to sit here a month from the draft and say, I'll tell you what I'll stake my reputation on, because that never ends well, and I don't have that big of a reputation. But I would I would say that if I had to give you one guess, I think the top four picks are all quarterbacks. I do. I think Williams is going to go one, that for sure. And then I think it's Daniels and May in some order, 2, 3. If I had to pick right now, I'd say it's in that order. You hear a lot that Washington's really into Jaden Daniels. Now, it's lying season, and who? But that's what you hear. I think the Cardinals are open for major business at 4. They're not going to draft a quarterback. They're fine with Kyler Murray. Yes, they could take a receiver, but they need so much help. Like, if they get offered, you know, Minnesota calls them and says, hey, we'll give you both of our first-round picks. You know, I think if you're Arizona, you do it. Like, and even if that means, okay, maybe at 11 you take a big-time tackle prospect, and then at 23 you get your receiver. Okay, fine. I mean, if you're Arizona, you're better off. I think there's a real chance that Harrison Jr. goes and plays with Herbert in L.A., which would be a very interesting combination. But I think Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, they're all teams that you look at and go, they got to kind of be aggressive here if they can. Like, I don't know if you're Denver, if you're thrilled to death about sitting at 12 and taking Bo Nix. I mean, maybe that's what ends up happening. But I think all those teams are going to aggressively explore getting into the top 5.
Very good. Well, we will make sure to tweet these very specific and entrenched positions of yours, these picks, over and over. No, of course we wouldn't do that, Matt, but your reputation is good with us. Thanks for your time today, and we'll talk again, I hope.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Matt Bergeram.
Yeah. Did you I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get this out clean enough while the guest was with us, but during the last break, I saw a clip of Brian Kelly speaking at the LSU Pro Day. I assume that's where it was. He was talking about Jaden Daniels. And, you know, his strengths and, you know, not worry about his size, talking about Lamar Jackson being successful, similar size, body type, yada, yada. Like, he's just going to get the ball out. He's going to distribute it for Washington.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then the clip ends. So I don't know if there's clarification that came after that, but Brian Kelly just I don't know why. He could have just made an innocent mistake, I suppose. Or maybe he feels like he knows something and let it slip that Washington is really into Jaden Daniels. I don't know, but that's how he said it. He'll distribute the ball for Washington.
Is there any way we could talk about that for the next 2 hours?
Yes.
Just decide and yes. Weigh in, you know, our best guess as to whether he knew something. Love it. No, I didn't know that. It's good. We'll take a timeout, have the update. Opening day in baseball, college hoops. Stathead. I mentioned this yesterday or referred to it, but we didn't talk about it. I think it was stathead.com. That, by the way, has a 5-day free trial thing going on starting today. So if you ever wanted to mess around with Stathead, now's your chance to do it. They claimed yesterday something outrageous, I thought. But maybe it's actually not even... not outrageous, but maybe it's perfectly correct about this weekend in sports. We'll have that. Talk to Paul Hamilton at 6 Eastern today about the Sabres loss and now just 9 games from the finish line. Another one of those nights in there where, well, even worse than just one of those nights where they're down 5-0 halfway through the first period. Yikes. We'll talk some more Sabres, too. Join us if you like, 803-0550. Again, the number, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
He is going to be so committed to taking care of himself that you're going to have to worry about size or he doesn't weigh enough. Lamar's done a pretty good job with his size. I think Mahomes, I wouldn't consider him a giant because he's going to get the ball out to the playmakers and make plays for Washington.
There it is.
Okay.
Brian Kelly.
Sounds good.
Maybe he's... aware that Washington plans to take Jaden Daniels. Maybe he's just throwing that out there for fun. I don't know. Opening day mostly in baseball. I've got the Yankees Astros on here in my home right now.
You came around to the Fubo existence at a very convenient time, because that just got added to the Fubo lineup.
Yes, you mean?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. I mean yes. Yes.
You mean yes?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's good. Otherwise I'd be watching like the Pirates, but that's fine. Here's a word. The Yankees pitcher, Nestor Cortez, opening day starter with Garrett Cole on the DL. He's going to miss at least a couple months. You know what he's doing, Bulldog? He's doing something that I don't think you would hear used in any other sport.
He might be getting ready to get knocked out early.
Well,
that could happen, I suppose. Astros are stringing base hits together here. But anyway, what? Go ahead.
Yeah, as a consequence of what he's doing, it's 3-0 Houston in the bottom of the first. He's nibbling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What other sport do you nibble? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Nibbling.
No. Tennis, golf, no. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's any. I think that's the only context in sports that I would think nibbling would be used. Would be for a pitcher.
Nibbling.
Nibbling.
Cortez is nibbling and the Astros are eating.
Yeah.
3-0, 2 out. In the first.
All right, he could escape here, I suppose. I overstated it to say he could get the early hook.
Well, there's action in the bullpen.
Is it double-barreled action?
It's not double-barreled.
Where else do you hear double-barreled?
Single-barreled action in the Yankee bullpen. 3-0 in the first. Stathead called this weekend the greatest sports weekend of the year. Is it maybe right? At first I thought, like, what?
I definitely think it's incorrect. At first blush. Go ahead, lay it out here, because I had a feeling that was what this was going to be, and I've not, like, thought it through to, like, what extent, like, why are they making this case? I just think, without even considering how they're making the case, I want to run it out of court. Like, just get out of here. There's no way that can be right.
Well, I wouldn't consider it my favorite, but it could be that I'm too niche. Like, football is so important to me relative to the other sports that maybe, you know, it's not the best football weekend of the year. It actually might be the worst. I don't know. But think about everything else going on. I mean, you have the Sweet 16 weekend in the NCAA tournaments. Those are great. I mean, huge potential there. Many of the tournament, I'm thinking more of the men than the women, but probably both. Many of the tournament's best moments ever are like this week. Leitner against Kentucky is this weekend. I mean, so many great games in this round or the next round. Opening day in Major League Baseball today for most teams. Like, it's the first baseball weekend of the year. That's true. College hockey.
I want to respect that being mentioned here. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I'm mentioning it. They didn't do the breakdown, but I am at least mentioning it. Those games, I mean, if you're into college hockey, those games are tough. I mean, you could have a great season, but it's one and out.
Yeah.
And it's hockey. So good luck, you know, surviving that, even if you have the best team. And then what else? NBA, NHL, golf.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The golf is what? The Houston Open? Okay, great. I mean, if there were a major golf tournament, if this were Masters weekend and all those other things were also going on, that could maybe get me there. My own personal taste, I like the week that we just had last Thursday and Friday much more than this round of the tournament.
Me too.
I just it I know, like, the teams cutting down the nets to go to the Final Four is, like, that's big, and, that's what we're here for, is, like, who's going to make it. But when there's the fewer games, it just doesn't work as well for me. I love how crowded it is on Thursday and Friday, especially even Saturday and Sunday last weekend. I sort of lose touch with it as it goes on myself. And I say I don't pay any attention to it, but it's not, ooh, I can't wait to get out and watch some of this for me. No playoffs in hockey or basketball. I made the golf point already. You know, football, you know, there's nothing happening out of season. You know, the draft weekend maybe could get wedged in there if it were that, but, you know, no. So, I don't know, man. I need something more at stake than college championships to say it's the best weekend in sports.
Which are not in their final rounds.
That's right. You know, I need a major golf thing. I need playoffs in the pro sports. I need something. I need some juice there. And I just don't see it. I mean, it's good. The tournaments, both men's and women's, you know, been great, and a lot of attention on the women's game, and I'm enjoying how that's going. But the best weekend of the year in sports, I mean, I don't even think it's close.
I guess I would give them that claim if we just sort of put an asterisk on it and, like, here's the best you can do without anything like final or super significant, like just for a collection of different things to watch. Okay, but totally, you know, the Masters for what it is, week one of the NFL for what it is, the World Series, even, that's not a weekend exactly, but any sort of like championship, you know, period,
yeah,
with other things going on at the same time, which, you know, you have week one of the NFL, you have September baseball, you're not yet to the NHL or the NBA seasons, but you have college football by then. You know, so that's, you still have golf, you still have autos, right? You still have other things going on. We don't have the stake this weekend. There's no stake. Opening day is great. That's kind of the closest you get to like something new and special than anything else, you know, unless it's the tournament. But you had last weekend for the tournament, and you had next weekend too.
And as I'm saying all this, we're having this conversation. We both realize there are fans out there that are way more into these basketball tournaments than we are, than I am. Certainly, I recognize that, and for people who are really into college basketball, it might be one of the best weekends of the year. Or I might say, wouldn't Final Four weekend trump even that for people who are really into the tournament? You know, I got more games. It's a little bit like when you talk about, say, the divisional round, the NFL playoffs versus championship weekend. There's four games versus two. What do you prefer? Well, the four, they're all pretty good teams or really good teams. Like, give me that because I've got double headers both days. And, you know, championship weekend in the NFL, I've just got the two games. So volume, but I don't know. I just think it's a reachy thing to strive for. I just don't think there's enough going on. Recognizing that baseball is new on the, you know, on the calendar, and that is interesting and exciting, but you know, it's also, there's 160 games to go, so it's just starting. So
many.
Yeah, it'll be a while before we really know or learn much.
In baseball's defense, unlike football, at least it is an even number.
Yes.
It's a lot of games. At least they have the decency to limit this to the number of games on the schedule is an even number. Yankees in the top of the second, bases loaded. I think maybe Valdez is nibbling. There's all kinds of nibbling going back and forth, nibble, nibble, nibble between these two pitchers. Houston 3 in the first, Yankees bases loaded in the second. We will get back into the Sabres. Paul Hamilton will join us at 6. What is going to happen? What needs to happen? 803-0550 for your calls. Last night, the Ottawa Senators come in and just make it a rout right from the beginning. 5-0 in the first. I actually said to one of my friends in the second period at the game when it was 5-2, and the Sabres had a couple of like really strong shifts. I'm like, these games can actually be the best kind of games.
Yeah, yeah.
It should just be fast break the rest of the night, you know, just like
it felt to me like if they could have found their way to a third goal, even you know, ideally before the second ended, but even early in the third, I might have thought like, okay, you could win this game. But Ottawa did a very good job of just sort of staying aggressive enough, and the Sabres just could not muster anything after they got their two goals. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, Ottawa, their goaltending is not good. They're not a good team, period. So that's a team, if you're going to come back from 5-0 down on anybody in the NHL this year, Ottawa's on the list. And the Sabres had a look at it there, but they just couldn't. They just couldn't get the one more. I think if they got that third one, it could have gotten interesting there.
Yeah, and the third, they could do nothing, pretty much, like right. You said. Lines open for your calls. We hope to hear from you. Let's talk NFL draft some more, too. What you see happening, what you want to have happen, or what you would hate to have happen for the Bills in this draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR. Astros 4-0. Bottom of the second. Most hated team in sports?
Oh, they're up there. Sure. Yeah, the garbage cans.
I don't hate them, but people hate them.
Yeah.
I like them. Not because of that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people were cheating, including my Red Sox. So, I don't know, hold that against them. I don't know, but...
Oh, I hate the Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, you
know
why? You would.
The cheating. I hate that about them.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Houston, fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's the cheating. I just have never... I've never liked them. I've never liked the Astros, so I can't start now. They're on the list.
You can't start now. That's right.
Not gonna.
After a run of dominance and the scandal, now would not be the time to start rooting for the Astros.
Right.
You are right.
All right. I suppose if I were standing there originally, I would have made my way through and made my excuses about the cheating, and I'd be fine. Look at the smart build. Look what they did. They drafted all these good players. And,
everybody does it.
Yeah.
That's what you would say. If you're a fan of a team, you'd just say everybody does it.
Yeah, just like a Barry Bonds fan would say about, you know, that. Like, he was the only guy doing it? Well, shut up. Yeah. Okay, all right. I hear you. 803-0550 is the number. We've been talking some hockey today. We're certainly open to talking more and more NFL draft as well. Let's see if we can't squeeze in a couple of calls before we hit the top of the hour. Brian is first up this segment. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, guys. I guess my take on the Sabres is after the Reinhardt and Eichel trade, it was kind of like, all right, we got our new core. We got a ton of draft picks. We got a young kind of base. We're going to keep that entire core together. They're going to grow together. They're going to learn together. And they're going to get good all together. So I think they've kind of taken that slow burn approach at GM and coach. Everything has been kept familiar. And then you get to the Mittelstadt trade, and there's a piece of that kind of that core that came up, albeit maybe contract RFA status. But then he goes out, and then, okay, so you trade the lower-end veterans off the team. Congratulations, 3-4 years too late. Now we're going to bring up Savoy, Kulik, and Östlund, and then we'll go right back to the – instead of their growing and learning and handling pressure excuses, now you'll just go right back in the circle to, oh, they're young. This is still the youngest team in hockey. And now we're right back to the same thing, just praying for a good draft pick again. And I think luck is a part of it too, is that both times they've had the number one pick overall, it's been a defenseman. And they weren't able to get a generational center, if it needs to be said. So I think that's my biggest concern with the Sabres is when they traded Mittelstadt, they kind of, to me, admitted, okay, that core idea – okay, now we got to kind of reboot, and we're going to go with young defense.
Yeah.
And now they can't score.
I appreciate where you're coming from here. I took the Mittelstadt trade as very smart and not a sign, like a sign of recognition of what they have coming and what they've already committed to. Like Mittelstadt had become an excellent player, but he was due for the kind of contract that Cousins and Thompson got, but poor timing. I already have Thompson and Cousins under contract, and I've got the kids you mentioned coming behind. So it made sense to try to parlay that into something else they needed, and I love that trade. I also don't think all three of those kids will be on this team next year. I think maybe one of them will be on this team. I guess it depends on how hard they go at the roster. Right? Do they want to open up more space, try to do something with Skinner, which, I mean, I can't even imagine what that would be. So I don't think they're going to get that young in the offseason. In fact, I would predict a veteran bottom six center gets brought in somehow, some way, and one of those three guys you mentioned ends up being here. Östlund, I would predict, will be in Rochester next year, and maybe Kulik or Savoy, along with Roseanne and whoever else qualifies, battles it out for a spot on the NHL roster.
It's easy and it's shallow, but I would simply want to see most of this team with a different coach, with a different voice, with more experience, with more winning experience. That is just like it's temporary often in hockey, the effects of that, and then before you know it, you'll want to do it again. And there's something sort of filthy about that. Like there's something that just doesn't sit right with that. But it is what happens. And I know there's talent. You've had individual seasons from these guys, and they're still so young. I want to know what it adds up to when I've got maybe it's more stern, maybe it's just different eyeballs on this, and combinations and strategies and what comes from that. Most of these things the Sabres have done, including Byram, I have been really impressed with. Like the contracts, getting guys signed. We used to complain that guys wouldn't sign the next deal in Buffalo. These guys all did. I know, they're still losing, so what? But I've liked a lot of the philosophical from the Sabres. But last summer, they shipwrecked with bringing their fourth line back, and Eric Johnson, and I know you would say, where's the goalie? You know, like they didn't really accomplish anything there that made sense. And in the end, this year took a step back. That's probably where it ends up. So I'm gonna have to be careful in here because there are probably going to be times when I sound like I just am, you know, indifferent to what they do or like everything's actually good. Everything's not actually good. But I think they have a lot other teams would like to have. And I just think you make that easy move and you put an off season into that and we'll see what happens. I think there's probably not likely to be big change to the roster. There almost can't be with what they've built. So you almost have that or nothing. I mean, not nothing. They've lost seasons because the bottom forwards and the bottom D have gotten them crushed. That didn't so much happened at up front this year, but it's not like they were great either. So it's like I said first, it's easy, and a lot of people, you sort of get criticized for saying it's like you don't know enough if you just change coach.
Knee jerk. So it's the first
knee jerk reaction.
Yeah.
I really think like not only are the Sabres perfectly ripe for that, but it's also just what better teams would do. You know, like to push back the perception that, which I don't believe at all. I don't believe ownership is disinterested. I believe ownership is in scouting meetings. That's the thing I would change about that. I don't think they're indifferent to this. I just think, you know, you have to show that sometimes. And fans have the perception right now, and I think you do, that they're just, you know, okay with it, right? That Pegula is okay with it. And so, I mean, I wouldn't ever want – if I owned a team, that's one of the last things I would ever want.
Yeah, I feel like a big piece of my – disenchantment, if you want a fancy word, with everything is that I'm fearful nothing is going to happen. And I have a feeling there are a lot of fans that feel that way. It just feels futile at some point. And that's kind of where I end up too often, you know, functionally for this, for us, for me to be able to do this job. I just sort of, they won't do anything anyway. And like, who wants to talk to that guy? Or listen to that guy talk. Like, I don't want to listen to that guy talk.
It really is one of the worst things people could think about your team. Or you as an owner, is that you just have lost interest. That was Golisano, right? Didn't we think he just sort of wasn't that into it? Wouldn't spend a dime over what he had already sort of figured out was enough. And, like, you don't want that as an owner. That was what was great about Terry.
Yeah.
When he bought them. Like, that was the money, but the wealth. But also, like, he loved them. He was going to be into it. Well, unprecedented futility. 803-0550. We look forward to talking to more of you here as we continue. Thanks, Brian. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.